Hey, this is Paul Martin.
And Ray the Roadie.
For the Rock and Roll Chicago podcast.
Rock
How you doing
roll.
Today, Ray?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Paul?
Doing just fine, thank you.
Good. How's vacation?
Vacation was superb.
Awesome.
It was nice, beautiful weather down there in Florida.
Nice.
And we had a great time.
Excellent. Yeah, you need to get away once in a while.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
I stayed here and held down the fort.
Good for you. I'm glad somebody did.
Yeah. Yeah. You know that frat house thing we got going? Poof, somebody's got to keep that door closed.
That's right. That's right. Because you never know who will let in.
That's right. So what's on tap for today?
Well, who we're letting in, John Fullstrom, a bass player extraordinaire, played with a band called Midnight, plays with the Big Boppers, has played with just about everybody, and also teaches and has his own book out. So he's a busy guy.
Well, you know, if he can play with everybody, he must be a really easy guy to get along with. You know, some people won't play with some kids, but he must be a good guy.
Yes, he is. So let's get right into it. And here is our interview with John Fullstrom, bass player extraordinaire, like I said. And let's do it. What do you say?
Let's go to Midnight.
Hey, this is Paul Martin.
And Ray the Roadie.
For the Rock and Roll Chicago podcast.
This week we're meeting with John Fullstrom of the band, wait for this, drum roll, Midnight. How's it going, John?
You doing good. Good to have you guys here.
Good to see you.
It's great.
So tell us a little bit about Midnight, and I know you said you were a youngster when the band started.
Yes.
And tell me how you guys started. Is it true you guys met right here?
Yeah, I think the band Midnight, we're all taking lessons here.
Right.
Yeah. We all taking lessons, and they hooked, you know, teachers are great. Hey, I know a good guitar player. I know a good drummer.
Right.
And then we all met through here taking lessons.
Well, by the way, here is at Melody Mart
and Music Store in Homewood. Great store. Yeah. Still here teaching, and we're in my studio right now.
Right.
And Paul's looking at Elvis and the Beatles.
Yeah, look at all this.
A big Elvis fan and Beatles.
This is quite a...
I mean, this is...
An array of pictures you've got all...
Paul, this is... I'm the only one that uses the studio. I did all this. Yeah. You know. And a lot of the kids today, look behind you, Paul. They don't know what those things are.
Yeah.
They have no idea.
The 45s.
They go, is that like some kind of CD or man or something like that? I'm serious. Yeah, is that like some kind of CD man? I said, you're close.
I believe it.
You're close.
Some kind of throwing discs.
Yeah, they don't know what they are, but this is old school room.
Yeah.
Traditional room.
Yeah.
But Midnight.
Yes. So tell us, how old were you when you started playing?
14. My first lessons, believe it or not, were from, it's a crazy story, but remember Greystone Fox?
Greystone Fox,
with Ron Berry and I took lessons, remember that
Greystone Fox? You're jagging my memory.
Back, it was at the Park Forest Music Store.
Oh, okay.
Plaza, remember the famed Park Forest Plaza.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And I took a month of lessons from Kenny, was his name. He was like a guitar player, bass player. So I started there. Those are my introductions. Okay. Okay. My introduction to the music world was through their lead singer, guitarist, bassist, Kenny.
Okay.
I can't remember his last name right now.
Yeah,
but it was a blast. So then I took some time off, and then I came to Melody Mart for like my whole career in high school.
Right.
All 4 years. Grace.
And so that's where you met...
Yeah, I met the guys in Midnight. Well, let's look at the
Steve.
Got Scott Marquardt, the great drummer.
Okay.
Dave Hill.
Okay.
Lead vocals, keyboards. Frank Anastas, lead guitar, vocals. And me on the Fender bass, right, Paul?
Right.
Fender bass.
Fender bass.
Yeah, Fender bass.
Yeah.
And we were serious, just like you guys were back in the day, and we practiced three, four nights a week.
Right.
And we, like I said, we didn't really know how to advertise or anything. We just wanted to be good. We played a lot of gigs.
Right.
A lot more parties, private parties.
Right.
High schools. Yeah. You know, but we just...
High schools was a big thing back in the day.
You were right. Wasn't it, Paul?
Well, they were that was the place to play.
I remember you guys were playing Paul. You played them all. Basically, yeah.
But dances. And every high school had a dance or something.
I know that.
Which doesn't happen anymore.
No, it disappeared probably, late 80s?
Yeah.
Just like my students coming in here.
Yeah.
Asking them, hey, what's happening? You know, what's going on? You know, you're in a band? Yeah. Well, then I'm having a band at the prom this year or whatever.
Right.
I said, what?
Yeah.
What do you mean, band?
I have a DJ.
Yeah, DJ. And I don't even have that anymore. So, but, you know what, and the high schools were great. Grade schools.
Right.
Put it this way, you know, Paul, all the world's a stage. Whoever you could want it, we'll go there. You know what I mean? So that's what we did in high school. And then, believe it or not, we kept going. And then we had we got an offer to make this album. An album. Some guy put up the money.
So this, what year was this that you started?
Band started about 74.
74, yeah. Okay. Right.
And it just kept getting better and better and better and better.
And then when did you get the offer to do?
The offer came like in the summer, right after we graduated high school.
Uh-huh.
It's like, we can make an album. What do you mean we can make an album?
Yeah.
Well, so we got some money. We said, yeah, we'll do it. Why not, right?
Mm-hmm.
The songs we put on here were songs we used to do in high school. These are all originals.
Right.
But we kind of, we're a little past that phase now because we're moving, you know, we're 18, going on 19.
Sure.
So we did it. We did the whole album one day, you know, the basic tracks, standing next to each other, right? Don't make a mistake, right? Don't make a mistake.
Yeah.
And then the next day was overdubs and mixing.
Wow.
And that was 77.
And you did it in 2 days?
We did it in 2 days.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
The thing was, we rehearsed. We were smart enough, you know.
Oh, sure.
One of the only times we were smart enough to practice the entire song without any vocals.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Because the vocals came the second day.
Came later.
So we would practice the songs without vocals, and that's why we were able to do it.
Well, I remember the days of, you know, gathering around a microphone and singing parts.
Right.
And you know, and then we'd listen back. Oh, this guy's too loud. So you'd have to pay.
Right.
Now y'all can all sing them separately. And,
you're right. Remember that. Positioning the players, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Let's check it. Now you got to move back a little bit. Yeah. Let's try it again. Yeah. That's classic.
Or like you said, making a mistake on a basic track.
Yeah. It's like, damn.
Stop.
Damn. Mm-hmm. I had it perfect.
Until the last note.
Right. And you get, you know, you can feel the pressure as the song goes on, right?
Yeah, that's right.
The pressure gets heavier and heavier.
Oh yeah, that's great.
Yeah, so we did the album, and we just let it go. We didn't really follow it.
Yeah.
And so it kind of just disappeared.
Right.
And we kept doing originals, kept playing, and finally the drummer, as like a lot of bands know, the new wave punk disco era, kind of wiped us out.
Right.
Scotty, the drummer, left for a new wave band. And basically, once Scotty left,
as long as he was working, right?
Well,
he kind of ruined you.
The band was no more after Scotty left.
Yeah,
you know, you got that chemistry.
Sure.
And we said, let's call it a day.
Yeah.
And that was it.
So tell me about some of the songs on here.
Oh man. Well, again,
who was writing?
Me, Dave Hill, and Frank Anastas. And Scotty, even the drummer, was writing too. He would throw riffs in.
Yeah.
Very tight band. We were very close. This band was very close, like I'm sure you guys are. And we were very close. We'd get together four nights a week, every week. You know, there's no calling each other. You just show up.
Right.
You know. And, you know, Dave would do a riff. You know, you have this riff, and I might come in with an accent or something, try that, and he liked it, if he didn't like it, you know. So it was a lot of the songs are
written together. Yeah.
But the basic idea, scratches, were always written by one person.
Right.
And then we would practice it as a band, and they would grow. So it was all four of us, basically. And that's why all songs are written by Midnight, which they really are, you know, to be fair.
Okay.
And the songs are about, you know, if you look at some of the smoke my cigarettes. some of the titles are kind of self-described. Smoke my cigarettes. You know, someone's always smoking someone's cigarettes.
Right.
You know, getting tired of it. You smoke my cigarettes. But it's basically, you know, typical. Remember, Paul, we rewrote these stuff when we were 16 and 17.
Right.
So it's teen angst stuff, you know what I mean?
Right.
Basically teen angst. High school shenanigans, rock and roll shenanigans.
Right.
Kind of a... Nothing too... The subject matter was not the light. It wasn't... It's you've...
So what's one of your favorite songs of yours?
God. Well, actually, like, you look at the first side, like, Train of Thought. Basically, I'm gonna say I like them all.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah, being political, though.
Well, I haven't heard them for, like, 25 years, so I could, you know, when they come back, it's like, yeah, that's I like that.
Yeah.
Not because of the memory attached with it.
This album came out in 2015.
Yeah, it got reissued by Drag City Records in Chicago. The great company. These people are great. I walked in there.
How did you hook up with them?
The guy, Stephen Krakow, the great artist for the Chicago Reader. He does that article, Paul.
Right.
Band is in it, Eminent Rush. The Secret History of...
I think it's Secret History of Chicago...
Chicago Rock and Roll or something like that.
Yeah.
And Paul's band, Eminent Rush, is in there. And then Stephen Krakow, again, great artist. I used to post some stuff of Midnight on Chicago bar bands from 75 to 82. And we always had cool clothes, you know, it's cool pictures.
Right.
So Stephen said, John, tell me about your band. I am Stephen Krakow from the Chicago Reader.
Right.
Tell me about your band, blah, blah, blah. So I told him about it. He goes, you got anything to send me? You got any material? Because he would do the art stuff, you know, the article.
Right.
So that's what I thought. It started as just him doing the article.
Right.
So he did. I sent him the CD. He really liked it. And the original CD with all the echo and all that. He liked it. Steve likes that stuff.
Yeah.
So he did the article. He goes, hey, Johnny, you want me to try and... I said, sure, why not? And Drag City really liked it. And we signed a deal. I think it's... Hopefully it's 100 years. No, I think it's seven years. And it's doing pretty good. This is the fourth year.
So are you doing anything else?
Oh, God, yeah.
I mean, as far as the band is
concerned. Oh, no, you're right. People say, John, get the reunion. What's going on?
Yeah.
Why aren't you guys doing a reunion?
Because now tell me about the guys in the band, each one of them. The one guy, the drummer.
Scotty Marquardt.
He went off to play in
New Wave. He played with a New Wave band.
Yeah.
And that didn't work out. You know, New Wave lasted 2 years, right?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And
what's he doing now?
He's out of music.
Is he?
His son plays for some famous country guy, though. A new guy. I can't remember his name. Okay. So Scotty's son is a great drummer for a country down.
Oh, okay.
So he does well. But Scotty's out of the business.
Right.
He probably left the business in the late 80s.
And what about Dan Hill?
Dave Hill lives in Green Bay. He moved to Green Bay.
Oh, okay. Do you play music up there?
Yeah. I don't know what kind or whatever, but we kind of lost touch.
Yeah.
You know, me, Scott, and me and Dave have kind of lost touch.
Right.
Basically, this was no reunion.
Right.
So, again, and then Frank, of course, I'm still playing with in the Big Boppers.
Right.
And we do SoPro, Buddy Monaco stuff.
Right.
The great Buddy Monaco, I got to say. And we still do that.
Right.
And I'm still here at Melody Mart teaching.
And Frank is here, too,
And
right?
Frank is here right now, yeah.
He's here teaching, too.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, Frank's been here forever, and we've been here kind of like the bookends of Melody Mart bass and guitar. And Frank took lessons here at Melody Mart, too.
That's awesome.
And Dave did, and Scott, and that's how we met, like
you
said.
You guys never even knew each other before.
No, no.
You didn't grow up together, hang out together.
You know, I might have seen this guy at school. Us three went to the same high school, Ritz Central.
Okay.
Me, Frank, and Dave went to Ritz Central, but I didn't know any of them. We all went to different grade schools.
Oh, okay.
Scotty went to HF.
Okay.
So again, I met Scotty probably through Melody Mart.
Right.
Frank, Melody Mart, and Dave Melody Mart.
That's pretty awesome.
Because we were serious. We were the four serious guys out of all the students.
Right.
You know, you got your serious students and you're not so serious, right?
Yeah.
And we all four were tremendously serious.
So tell us about the Big Boppers. Yeah.
Well, the Big Boppers was, I was playing with our buddy, Scotty Bonshire, in a band called Tom, Keith, and Sydney, a husband and wife, kind of like a really good team.
Oh, okay.
We were playing at the Hyatt Regency O'Hare.
Right.
6 nights a week. Great gig.
Right.
But I was getting itchy for the old days, playing outside. You know, yeah. In the summertime, you're driving to a lounge, and you're seeing all the bands outside playing with the merry-go-rounds and the fairs.
Right.
And I'm thinking, God, I got to get something like that again. So it's basically because of midnight.
Right.
Because, you know, you play outside a lot.
Sure.
So I just said, I designed it in my head, the Big Boppers. I said, I got to get something together. I talked to Scotty and Frank, Anassis, and we kind of took the...
Just the three of you?
Yeah, the three of us.
Yeah. And so now I see you've evolved into,
oh my God,
a bunch of stuff, right?
Yeah.
With the Big Boppers.
Big Boppers is different people now. I use, because everyone's busy, and
right.
I use great people, great musicians.
Right.
Especially drummers. I got to have great drummers like Scotty and Artie Baldacci and Pat Doody and Dennis Lay. I got to throw out the Dennis Lay, Neil Holmquist. These guys are great drummers.
Right.
You know, Jerry Frank.
Jerry Frank.
Yeah.
Well, that's important for you as a bass player.
Oh, yeah. I can't. I got to play with good drummers. Right, Paul?
Right,
come on.
Right.
I really do because if I don't, it throws me off. I don't want to play.
Yeah. You know? So now, where are the Big Boppers? You guys are still playing, right?
Yeah.
Where do you play?
Well, we play every Friday night at Mama Me Pizza. We've been there. We've held that down for this one. We're on our fourth year.
Oh, okay.
Every Friday night.
In Homewood,
right down Dixie Highway.
Yeah.
It's really cool because it's very. I know everybody. You know, everyone knows each other.
Right.
So it's very laid back, and it's very.
Is it more acoustic or is it?
We play acoustic, Paul.
Yeah.
Like this, but we plug them in our amps.
Well, okay.
So we got some juice going on too.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's not heavy loud and it's not acoustic soft.
Right.
It's right in between. It's a nice mix.
Right.
So you can talk over it or we can get louder, but again, it's a great mix. And I really like it cuz it's very. Let's put it this way. I have no band leader in this, the Big Boppers.
Yeah.
I have band no leader saying don't play those notes.
Right.
That's what I can do. I can play nothing or I can do whatever I want.
Right. And so can everybody else, right?
And so could everyone else, of course.
Yeah.
It's total, so could everyone else. You're right.
That's cool. And what do you do? What kind of music are you playing?
And so what's funny is I said, we're not going to do any 70s rock and roll. Because that's the first thing I said. Because we did that all our lives, right, Paul?
Right,
no 70s rock and roll. And we don't. We do 50s and 60s.
Okay.
And 70s top 40. That was on the AM radio.
Right.
We do AM radio stuff.
Right.
Which is great. Neil Diamond.
Yeah.
Solitary Man. You know.
Yeah.
Jay and the Americans. Karamia.
Right.
You know, just great stuff we all grew up on.
Sure. Yeah.
And that's what we do.
Now, do you sing as well?
No, I don't.
No?
Nate,
no.
I've tried several times, Paul, and the stories are classic.
Yeah.
I say, yeah, I'll try. I'll do some backup. Yeah, no problem. You know, well, you got to be able to sing. Yeah, I'll do it. So they got a mic set up, and I do like a couple songs for the first night. And it's thinking, well, I must have, they didn't say nothing, so I must, all right. Next night I go back, the mic's gone. Nobody says a word. Nobody says a word, right, Paul? Nobody says a word. Nothing happened. It's like nothing happened that night. And I don't say anything either. Like, hey, where's my mic? It's just gone.
Maybe it wasn't never there.
Exactly. You're right. And it never was, really. And this went on my whole life.
That's right.
I can't sing. I never practiced it.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, did you do Karamia?
Well, I don't sing Karamia. Here, I play it like this. This is what we do on the bass guitar. I use an acoustic bass.
Yeah.
Something about plug for acoustic basses.
Right.
I notice with acoustic basses, chords sound really good.
Right.
So I do a lot of that in the Big Boppers now.
Oh. Okay.
And then.
Right.
Karamia.
Right.
That's how I sing. I play that melody.
Okay. I see.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I do all these chord things and melodies on the acoustic bass because it's a hidden treasure. I got an article. It's a really good.
Right.
That's right. Cool. Who wants to try to like
acoustic? No.
All right. But that's part of like the Big Boppers evolved into that acoustic thing through this acoustic bass.
Right. But you still play with a drummer, too, right?
But Dennis will do an acoustic thing. Okay. He plays cajones and all this percussion stuff, electronic stuff, but not a real drum set.
I see.
The great story with the Big Boppers is how we started doing it started with electric.
Right.
But the great story is how we... I bought an acoustic bass, so I just started playing bass lines with it. It's like, listen, no, I'd rather play electric bass.
Yeah.
So I'm up here teaching with it. And the students were jamming on the drum machine. It's like, I got to do something. So I said, let me try a chord. Never played a chord. Like, how do I play an E chord? So I figured it out right on this. And this, I was like, wow, that sounds great.
Yeah.
And that's how it evolved, the Big Bopper's acoustic, from it, right in here.
I see, yeah.
Strumming chords for my bass students so they could hear the harmony with their bass notes.
Right.
And so all of a sudden now the Big Bopper's went acoustic. Because I can play all these melodies and chords, so we got a unique sound,
right?
With the bass doing all that stuff.
Wow, that's
yeah, it's really cool. Yeah, it's very it's a fluke.
Yeah,
it's the story of my career. It's a fluke. I'm serious. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't know that. Now you're an author.
I am,
and I don't know if that was a fluke.
No, that was not a fluke. That was not a fluke.
Well, it was a lot of hard work in there.
Yeah, it was out of desperation and fear, Paul. Right. How was that? You know that, right?
Yes. And the book is called EADG4.
EADG4.
And
I wrote it out of teaching. Because, you know, I would come up with these charts and theory. I'm real big on theory with teaching. Right. And I didn't know. It's like, how do I explain this? There's no books out there for it.
Right.
So I went back and I had to figure all this stuff out with my students and trial and error. My students, like, what, does this look good to you? How does it sound? What's your opinion? We take it. And it was from about 88 to 91. I got finished it in 91.
Okay, I was going to ask you when it was published.
I published it but I waited 2 years. Check it out. I put it in a drawer. I hated it. It was done, but I hated it. It was all typed, everything. I hated it. It was a beast.
Really?
I let it sit in a drawer for 2 years. Two years, Paul. Wow. Didn't even look at it. Finally, I said, that's it. Okay, it's time to put it out.
Yeah. So in 93,
summer of 93, it came out.
Is that the industry standard now? Or?
Boy, I hope it'd be great. I know a lot of people do have it.
Yeah.
And I do sell it across the world.
Yeah.
You know, and the website is www.eadg4.com.
Right.
Or Google it. It's everywhere. Right. And I've made a bunch of YouTube videos, too.
Right.
In here.
Right.
You know, that's a whole nother story, you know, with the YouTube videos, doing sections of the book.
Right.
So that's a whole nother ball game, doing the YouTube thing. You all of a sudden it's like, you know, I'm not good with a camera. I'm not an actor. We're not actors, right?
No, but you know how to teach.
So. I know how to teach. So I pretend. You got to pretend that that camera is a student.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
But you know, in the back of your mind, that ain't a student.
But there's a lot of students out there watching it.
Yeah, they are. Like I said, I look at them. I'm happy with the way they turned out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's been a whole adventure. The EADG4 has been pretty heavy in my life since 93.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
You won a Ronald Reagan Award for the book.
Yeah. It's Ronald Reagan. They love that your own business, having your own business.
Right.
And they love that.
Right.
And they saw EADG4 and they love what I'm doing.
Right. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
It is. And like I said, I have just friends and family help me.
Yeah.
You know, I have no employees.
Right.
You know, so I do everything basically myself. And that's what they like.
Now, you published a book, though, through a publishing company, right?
No, it's through my own. I got secret publisher.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
And they do a phenomenal job with this book.
Yeah.
I mean, the quality is incredible. And I had a great friend. I got to mention his name. He's passed on. John Calabrese. He got me hooked up with this printer. And you can see the job they do with this book.
Oh, yeah. It's great.
It's first class.
Yeah.
And I owe all that to John, you know. So, but that's all me, the writing. Yeah, but he had the company. And, and we march on.
So tell me about writing the book. I mean, what?
Oh, boy.
How long did it take you to do it?
3 years.
3 years.
Yeah. It was something that I got obsessed with. And I lost myself totally from 88 to 90, about 90.
Wow.
3 years. I lost myself. I'd be playing. I wouldn't even be thinking about the song because they came automatically. And I would be thinking about words, how to string the words perfectly together. Because I know this book has to work for someone who doesn't have me telling them.
Right.
So
right.
The words have got to be perfect to lead their mind to where I want to take them.
Right.
And that was the hardest part. And the charts and all that. And
right.
No, it was a tough gig, Paul. It was a tough gig. It's when I got done with it, it was like, well, that's probably definitely the best thing I've done since the Midnight album.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
You know, that was the first thing that hit me.
It's a very cool book.
Yeah.
I read we also work with Mel Bay.
Mel Bay, they published 24 articles out of it. They said, John, write an intro and a summary. And send us some, you know, sections. So I'd write a little intro summary, and they would put it on their website for bass lessons. So I did 24 of them, and that came through Dave. I got to mention Dave Tuchman, who's my distributor out in San Diego.
Yeah.
He owns bassbooks.com, and he just saw my book and said, "Yeah, I love it, man. Let's do something." So it's they're in Seal Beach now, but I'm still with bassbooks.com. I do their Facebook.
You're a consultant for Mel Bay, right, or whatever.
Yeah, I was one of the contributors. One of the big contributors. Okay. And I thank John Reed for that from Mel Bay.
Yeah.
You know, so the book has got me some connects, you know, some Dave Tuchman I owe a lot to out in San Diego because he got me through in the Mel Bay,
right.
Which I got into Gibson. Gibson published those same 24 articles, really? Gibson guitars.
Wow.
So it went on their website under their logo, Gibson.
Wow, very
so
cool.
That's awesome too.
That's very cool.
Still can't get a endorsement from Gibson.
Did you get an endorsement from
nothing? Nothing. No, they gave me a thank you, John. We appreciate this, and it's fine. That's enough for me. I'm proud to be associated with Gibson. You know,
right?
Totally.
Sure.
Mel Bay was great, though. Mel Bay was great for me. They actually paid me for.
Well, I mean, Mel Bay was a classic back in the day.
Exactly, you know? Mel Bay, and like I said, I'm friends with John Reed, the bass guy for that, and he was great. The whole company was great to me.
Wow.
You know? So, and Facebook, I've been lucky, you know, with, but again, all these contacts were through me.
Right.
Just kind of like, why not?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do I got to lose now? Right, Paul?
Right.
You know, why not? You got to try it.
Right. You got to just go out there and do it.
You just got to do it and see what happens, right? It's kind of like, you know, just, and we at least expect it. That's what's like, what?
Yeah.
Never
that's kind of like
that.
What we're doing here.
Right.
You know, I mean, we just put this together. We were going out and we're doing it. And it's great getting insight into the different into individuals like yourself and finding out about what you've gone through in order to put something out like this.
Right.
And what bands have gone through. It's
always a deep story and heavy. It's always heavy. It's not, you know, it's fun and it's not.
Right.
And
So now who have you played with? I know you do the blues thing with.
That's one of my favorite all time gigs. Pat Doody got me involved with that.
Yeah.
The great drummer with Buddy. You know Buddy?
Sure. Oh, okay. Yeah, I know Buddy.
Buddy.
Well.
Buddy Everybody Monaco.
Knows Buddy.
Yeah. Buddy is I didn't know Buddy. I never met Buddy until 2002.
Oh.
Pat Doody calls me up and says, "Hey John, you want to do a blues gig with me tonight?" I said, "Well, what?" He goes, "Don't worry about it."
Yeah.
Well, it was a SoPro.
Right.
One of Buddy's all stars.
Right.
You know, and that's where I met Joe Jammer, and he's a character, and Jody Noah, you know, and all the greats, Debbie Seitz, and the whole Chicago Fire Horns or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So I've been doing that since 02 with Buddy Monaco,
the
Chicago Blues all stars. I guess, like I said, rock and roll. I think the rock and roll made me a really good blues player, Paul. You know, I think. Right? Am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I was playing Elvis.
Sure.
But it's blues. I didn't, you know, it's like.
Right.
I'm playing Little Richard and Jerry Lewis all the time.
Right.
So when I got to the blues thing, it's like, well, this is Elvis.
Yeah.
Right? This is Elvis. So I was gold, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, it was gold.
Yeah, there's only so many notes.
Right. But yeah, and like I leave a lot out, you know what I mean? I do. I leave a lot of them out, and I just pick a nice heavy Fender bass and let those notes sing out.
Yeah.
But that's been a great gig for me. The Buddy Monaco SoPro Blues All Star. I love that.
Now, who else have you played with? I know you played a little bit with Bernie Glimm.
Yeah. Bernie, yeah.
Filling in? Or?
No, I was in his band for about our great friend Tom Gurney, who just passed away.
Right, yeah.
Tommy, I joined Country Roads in '85.
Oh, did you?
With Tom Gurney. Oh, Tom Gurney got my number from another great bass player, Glenn Dearson, who used to play with the Madison All-Stars.
Oh, sure.
So, Tom needed a bass player. He called me, and then I met Tom. I made the band, and then we were off and running in '85.
Oh, okay.
Country Roads. It was me, Tom, and Linda Sue, and Scott on drums. Oh. We were playing 6-7 nights a week back in '85.
Yeah, that's a shame about Tom.
Yeah, it is. He was, that's a dear friend gone. But Bernie... Tom called me again back in like 02, 03 and said, "Hey, Johnny, I need a bass player for one night." One night? What do you mean? Well, we're backing up Marshall Tucker. I said, "Well, how many songs?" "Well, about 30. I said, "One night? 30 songs I got to learn?"
Yeah.
So I did it for Tommy.
Right.
Because, Johnny, you're the only guy I would know would do this.
Yeah.
who was just crazy, right, Paul?
Yeah.
And Bernie, everyone liked it. We did well. So I joined the band for about 3 years. It was great.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, so that was cool. Then I kind of said, let me start working on this Big Bopper thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been going. I started the Big Boppers in 89, Paul.
Oh, really?
89.
Really? I didn't realize.
Yeah. Going 89.
Yeah.
I remember sitting there going, I got to play outside, because we were playing inside all the time, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You get tired of that.
Sure.
So that came from the Midnight. We used to play outside. I want to go back to that feeling.
Yeah.
And then that's what we're doing. We're doing all these crazy gigs, you know, yeah, where no one else, you know, Pizza Joint, the lobbies and parties. And yeah, I like that.
So 30 years you've been doing the Big Bappers.
Yeah. Great call, Paul. Thank you. Yeah. 30 years. Yeah, it is. But again, it's never been a full-time thing. I never wanted it full-time, but now it's more full-time, you know?
Right.
But I still fill in everywhere, you know, whoever needs a bass player. If it's worth it to me, I'll do it.
Any original Big Bopper music?
A couple. We weren't after that angle. Right. You know what I mean? Me and Frank did a couple originals early on. And then, you know what, it just evolved in this acoustic thing. Like I said, I'm born with how it evolved. I'm not trying to make things happen.
Right.
So the acoustic thing's been great.
Now I got to ask you, what about five-string basses?
Which one?
What about five-string basses?
Oh, five-string? Boy, you want to get me in hot water. Oh, you're falling. Oh, I know, Paul.
Well, I'm just curious what your thoughts are on those. Yeah.
Oh boy, I gotta be careful here, Paul. Yeah, I gotta be real careful.
Okay.
Well, five string bass came into play about mid '80s, right? 83, 84, Paul.
Was it that early?
Yeah, about 85.
Really?
Because it's when the DX7 came out.
Okay.
Remember the DX7?
Yeah.
Where it could sound like an orchestra and then a bass.
Right.
So I go in a music store and the guy says, John, you better look for another. He plays. So this DX7, he starts playing bass.
Yeah.
You know, put the bass. And he's playing a low, the notes go lower.
Right.
It's like, that don't sound like a bass to me.
Oh, okay.
You see where I'm going?
Yeah.
So next thing you know, about six months later. Next thing you know, the five string bass comes out. It was to protect against this DX7 taking over the bass player's position in a band.
Right.
Well, guess what? The DX7 went away.
Right.
Because it didn't really. Now, and the five string.
The bass player's still around.
The bass player. And I told the guy who told me this, I said, it's not going to happen. So, it's not going to happen. It doesn't sound like a bass. And it didn't. But the five string came out.
Right.
And I played them. You know, it's like you playing a seven-string guitar. Okay? Right?
Right.
It's the same thing. Now you got a low B or something, maybe?
Right, right.
And that's what I would have on my bass.
Right.
So I've been looking at this entryway. You know, your E string is your entryway into your world.
Right.
Now I'm going to put this huge wall up, a B string,
right.
A huge wall into my entryways that I've studied and mastered.
Right.
No way.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
And I've gotten always asked that question. Why don't you play a five string, John?
Yeah.
I don't want to.
Right. And I'm with you there.
Right.
I'm with you there. To me, a bass is four strings.
Right.
And I'm sure I know Brian Sarna who plays with the Noodles with me will say the same thing. He goes. I just don't know if I want to go there. You know.
Right.
You know?
No, I never went there.
Yeah.
I never went there. Just simply because of my history was already the doorways were set
right
through the E string.
And I can imagine that
it's with a guitar,
a whole different.
And you just put a B string. Like I said, you got a seven string guitar. It's a low B, I believe.
Yeah.
So how would you like that?
No.
And it's the same. No, I don't need it. And Stevie Starlight, I saw this quote. He had a great. He told me, I was, you know, Stevie, right?
Yeah, sure.
He's funny. He goes, oh, you got a five string bass. He tells this bass player, that's great. Now you got three strings you don't play. No, now you got three strings you don't need.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, he's again, that's E and A string, right? The bass.
Yeah.
But that was classic. Oh, great.
Yeah.
Now you got three strings you don't need.
Yeah.
Right?
So you mentioned Fender guitars.
Fender. Yeah.
Fender's the way to go. What have you ever played? Do you own a Rickenbacker?
I got Rickenbackers, and I love Rickenbacker. Oh,
yeah.
I love it. I know Roger, your buddy, plays Rickenbacker, right?
Yeah, he's got a Fender now.
I got a Fender too.
Yeah,
I got a bunch of Fenders.
Yeah,
the Precision, the Jazz—they're all great. The Fender,
right?
Precision,
right?
Jazz, make it American. I do believe in USA Fenders. You know, I think you agree, Paul.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I play an American based Strat. Yeah.
So Fender USA, Rickenbacker. Yeah. I play God and Rick. I love Rick and Gibsons. I like Gibsons.
Yeah.
Why not?
What about some of the off brands, or not, I wouldn't say off brands, but
I know what you're saying.
Some of the brands that are coming up and
Well, I still got my BC Rich Eagle. Remember BC Rich came out in the late 70s?
Sure.
I love that bass. I still have it.
Yeah.
It's an American made in California. But they stopped in like the early 80s. The guy sold his company or something. But those, I still got my BC Rich.
Yeah.
I used that for 14 years straight. Beautiful bass. This is acoustic Ibanez, which is really nice. Ibanez makes good acoustics.
Right.
They really do.
Yeah, right.
If you want the audience to have the best bass tone in the world,
right.
Play a Fender Precision.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
American made. You can't lose.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know? I love the Rick, too. I love the Rick. I grew up a record collector. When I was in grade school, I remember laying on fifth grade starting. And I got the new books, and I said, I got to buckle down this year, man. I mean, I went to a Catholic IJP in here in Flossmoor.
Yeah.
I got to buckle down, man. I'm tired of getting D's and F's. You know, so I, like an idiot, I put my stack of Presley 45s on, because I'm going to do my homework now. I got to have my music playing, right?
Yeah.
Well, that was the problem. So I opened the book. It's brand new, right?
Yeah.
So I'm buckling down, man. It's September, and I'm reading. I got the Presley songs, and I'm tapping my... What did I... And I read, like, the first two paragraphs. It's like, I have no idea what I just read. Let me do it again. Let me... I'm getting mad now. It's like, come on, wake up.
Right.
Let's do it again. I did it about four times. I have no idea what they were talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
I closed the book, and that was it.
Yeah.
I'm going to admit it. I really never did any...
Yeah.
Nothing again.
Yeah.
So I got by on behaving, not causing trouble.
Yeah. But you've done well for yourself.
Right, with music. Yeah, I did. So I was a record collector.
Right.
During grade school.
Wow.
That's how I know all about these. I used to go to Beverly Records. You know where that's at, right? All the time, once a month.
Yeah, I see some of your
people.
You got Elvis and...
Elvis.
And Paul McCartney.
Paul McCartney. Jocko.
Yeah.
The great bass player. And
and a lot of 45.
A lot of 40. I was a 45 collector.
Yeah.
I love that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, pop music. The only ones I got left, Paul, are my Elvis and Beatles, because they're in a special case of vault.
Okay. Okay.
And these, I just hang for show. I give some to my students, like a going away present. I'll give one, like a good one. So I got a box of 45s from my huge record collection, which is gone. Like I said, I have no idea.
Yeah.
And I hang them up here, and then for a good student, going away gift, or I'll give them one.
Right.
And they really love it.
Yeah.
So it's just nostalgia now, you know, for that. But and the song, You Made Me So Very Happy.
Yeah.
Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
Mm-hmm.
Just, and the bass, and the stereo was just like, I heard this bass, for, like, really the first time.
Yeah.
Because Jim Felder or something is the bass player. And I'm listening to this instrument that I never heard before.
Yeah.
Because we're using AM radios.
Right, right.
And I'm listening.
Bass didn't come across
really well. Right, this bass is killing me.
Yeah.
It's like, I got to somehow get involved with this. I don't know what that was, but I'm going to wind up with this mystery. I'm hearing this. How does he know how to do that?
Yeah.
Why is he picking those notes? So that drove me nuts until I started playing the bass.
That's very cool.
Yeah, that's why. But it came through that song.
Yeah.
That one song. You made me
so very... Is that what you were doing here when you guys all met? Were you learning bass?
No.
Learning guitar?
That's when I was a record collector.
Okay.
That was back in 1969, so I was like in fifth grade. And I heard that bass on that Shibota.
That's what you want to play?
Yeah, I knew that's what I was searching out. What is that?
Yeah.
You know, I'm looking at the Beatles album covers. I said, because Paul had that violin, it's symmetrical.
Yeah.
It's like, you don't know what the heck it is.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And it's backwards.
Right? It's backwards, right? Yeah. So it's like, and then I did a little more research, saw a live band. It's like, oh, there's the guy right there. He's got this big old Fender playing to one of these custom 315s in a cafeteria. Yeah. It's like, that's what I want to do. Yeah. I want the big guitar with the big pegs and the low sound. That's what I like.
What about stand-up?
I play stand-up.
Do you?
I do. It was encouragement. John, you got to play stand. So I did play stand up. Tom, I still play it every at the church at IJP. I play. I play stand up at church.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, an old 50s K bass. Yeah. So I use that a lot. It's a K 50s blonde upright.
Yeah,
I love it. But my heart's an electric bass.
Well, thank you very much for letting us in here.
Yeah, this is great having you two guys here.
Talking old times and new times and and good times.
Yeah, good times. Yeah,
Now, where can we find you on Facebook or your website? You have a website?
I'm on Facebook, John Fallstrom. You know, just love to have you. And I'm on my website, eadg4.com. It's got my whole history. It's about right. all the bands I've been, and the book, you know, and all the stuff. Yeah, basically, right? A Melody Mart. I'm here 4 days a week, still right. teaching, right. plugging away. I've been here since 87. And
there you go, kids.
And
I learned to play the bass. Yeah. Remember to come.
That's yeah. Right. Thanks, Paul. You know?
Beautiful downtown Homewood.
Yeah. It's still kicking.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for having us in. And
thanks, John.
We appreciate it.
We'll see you out and about with the Big Boppers.
Thank you.
Well, Ray, John had some great stories, didn't he? Especially the one about all of them meeting as kids at Melody Mart.
That was awesome.
And wound up playing together. That's pretty awesome. And recording at such an early age.
Practicing my EADG.
Oh, I see. I get you. Okay.
Yeah, how about that too? And he wrote a great book. I mean, it's like the industry standard now. I mean, that's amazing.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Very cool. Very cool. And he's very proud of that book, I know.
Oh, as he should be. As he should yeah. be. And he's still playing. The Big Boppers are playing all over the place, and that's great. He's still yeah. enjoying it, and that's the whole thing. You know, you're never too old if you're still enjoying it.
No, no. Any kids out there who are looking to play bass guitar, this is the guy to talk to.
That's right. If you're not in the area, at least get his book EADG4.
Yeah. Let me hear that EADG again.
I think I got it down.
Okay. E A E G.
That's it, I think.
There you go. There you go. Yes.
Where does guitar come from?
I think it's a bass guitar, though. I think you're not playing the right guitar.
Well, it's still got four strings. I took the other two strings off.
Oh, I see. Okay, well that works then, I guess.
Yeah, I took the B and the E off. So
okay. All right. Well, it was great talking with John, and we'll see you guys next week. We'll once again be sure and share and tell all your friends about the Rock and Roll Chicago podcast.
That's right. See you guys next time.
Thanks for listening. Chicago, Rock and Roll.